Well, right now we want to turn towards the area of Cincinnati, Ohio, just over the cross the line into Kentucky. There is an opportunity for people, if they will take advantage of it, to go to the Creation Museum. It's a part of the ministry of Answers in Genesis. It's been there for a number of years, an outstanding exhibit to the world of how indeed God's record of bringing humankind into existence and everything else there at the Creation Museum. The man who is in charge of all of this, he heads up the organization Answers in Genesis, also the Creation Museum, is Dr. Ken Ham, who is the president, and now they have the Ark Encounter. Ken, thank you so much for being able to join us today. Boy, what you're doing there at Answers in Genesis is responding to those people who want to negate God's truth of His holy word and how everything came into existence. I am so excited that the Lord has allowed you to do all of this, and you're doing an excellent job. Tell me about the Ark Encounter. I know the Creation Museum is just world class, but why in the world did you want to try to spend so much money and take so much time to build a replica of Noah's Ark there on your property?
Well, it's great to be with you again. And, you know, the Creation Museum, which was opened in 2007, so it's been open for 9 years. We've had 2.6 million people come through the Creation Museum. But, you know, as you look at the culture and we realize how secular it's becoming, the whole Western world is becoming more secularized, we also see how the secularists have been, in a sense, removing those reminders of the Christian heritage of this nation, Ten Commandments, nativity scenes, etc., from public places, also creation Bible prayer out of public schools. We see Christ going out at Christmas. We see the gay marriage issue, the abortion issue. You know, our heart is, you know, to take up what God tells us in His Word, to do business till He comes. And in other words, we should be on about the business of the King of Kings, presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how can we impact as many people as we can? Because we have generations now who are coming through an education system, they don't even hear about the Bible, they don't go to church, and yet Noah's Ark is well known around the world. Even the secular world will say that. I mean, if you say Creation Museum around the world, a lot of people don't know what you're talking about. You say Noah's Ark, they do, and there are flood legends and cultures around the world. So we came up with this idea, what if we were to build a life-size ark out of wood, designed as a ship but built as a building, the most authentic recreation of Noah's Ark in the world, filled with teaching exhibits to answer questions and to present the gospel of Jesus Christ, to stand on the authority of God's word. What would happen if we did that? And we actually did some research across the nation, primary research with America's Research Group, and they've done that twice, and they predict up to 2 million people a year would come to this, and a lot of non-Christians would come. So we set out to do that. We have now basically completed it. It opens July 7 in this year, 2016, and it'll be the largest timber frame structure in the world, world-class exhibits. We're already getting international media interest. It's south of Cincinnati, 45 minutes from the Creation Museum, but I believe it's going to be one of the greatest Christian outreaches of this era.
Do you believe it will respond to what people say that, hey, the flood was just a little regional water overflow there in that Middle Eastern part of the world, or will it really bang them right in the face with the fact that there is reality, that God's word is correct, that it was a worldwide flood and only 8 people escaped this judgment?
Well, you know, when we actually did the research as to how many people would come to this if we actually built it and opened it, we also had people write down what their questions were about the flood, about the ark. And, of course, from our own experience over the years, we know many of those questions anyway. And we took those questions, and they're being answered in the exhibits. How could he fit all the animals on board? 2 of each kind, or what? You know, what is a kind? How do we answer that? Was it really a global flood? Was it a local flood? And, you know, even the ark itself, just the size of it. I mean, I've had non-Christian leaders in the community go there, and as they stand and look at it, they say, this is massive. I didn't realize Noah's ark was so big. Maybe he could fit those animals on board. See, a lot of people are used to, sadly, in a lot of our Christian children's books, even seeing Noah's ark as an overloaded bathtub with drafts sticking out the chimney about to sink at any moment. We even have an exhibit in the ark against the bathtub arks. And we wanted to show people the real size of the Ark, it really speaks to me, just seeing the size of it. And then we have a lot of exhibits dealing with how could he feed the animals. We've got cages, we've got sculpted animals, we've got the exhibits on how he could get food to them, how he could take waste products away. The cages are all functioning cages, even though they're sculptured animals that are in them. I mean, this is a remarkable project. And what's going to happen is Christians are going to be emboldened for the faith, and their children are going to be equipped with answers, and non-Christians are going to be challenged that this really happened, this was feasible, Noah really did this, the flood really happened, and we've got a challenge to them, just as Noah and his family went through a door to be saved, so we need to go through a door, and that door is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, and that's a great, great gold as far as that ministry is concerned. Ken, I know that you and I have had the opportunity to be in conferences, Word of Life Bible Conference, for example, and other opportunities to speak together. And one of the things you repeatedly say is that all of Bible doctrine, all that we need to understand, is really found in the first 11 or 12 chapters of the book of Genesis. And so you have the Creation Museum that takes care of chapter 1. You have now the Ark, and that is going to take care of Genesis chapters 6, 7, and 8. And so we see indeed that you're sticking to what you believe is absolutely foundational. But let me take you to 2 Peter chapter 3 just a moment as we conclude our conversation. There, Peter, in his swan song, writing to the church, made the statement that in the last days there will be those who deny the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But indeed, in addition to denying his coming, they deny the flood and creation. Both of your exhibits, the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter, are going to respond to that, even though we're living in those last days. So it helps us to know our beginning, but also it'll help us to recognize the end of everything as well, will it not?
Absolutely. In fact, that 2 Peter 3 passage is a very interesting passage, and it tells us there's these scoffers in the last days, and of course we are in the last days. We've been in the last days ever since birth and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but there are scoffers, and they're going to reject creation, and we see that today with the teaching of evolution through the public education system. We see evolution pushed more and more. They reject creation. It says they're going to reject the flood, and the secularists scoff at the idea of the flood. They believe the fossil record was laid down over millions of years, but we would say most of the fossil record is actually the graveyard of the flood. And as they reject creation and the flood, it goes on to say they're also going to reject the second coming as well. And they say, look, God didn't create, he didn't send a flood, so we don't have to be worried about him coming again. But then in Peter it says to us, so what manner of persons ought you to be, lest you also fall? In other words, a warning. We don't want to be led astray by these scoffers, and we don't want our children to be led astray by these scoffers. And so that's why we built the Creation Museum and the Ark, because we don't want people to be led astray by the scoffers. We want them to know the truth of God's Word, the truth about creation, the fall of man, where sinners, why death is in the world, penalty for sin, that God's Son stepped into history, died on a cross, be raised from the dead, offers a free gift of salvation. That's the whole purpose. We don't just build these things for entertainment. We build them because we have a purpose, a motivation to be on about the business of the King of Kings, to proclaim the gospel and to proclaim the truth of God's Word, contend for the faith, and to give answers for what we believe, as we're told in 1 Peter 3:15.
Well, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, Jesus says, I'm not slack concerning my promise. I am coming back, but I'm not willing that any should perish. And so then your underlying goal is to win people to Jesus Christ with this exhibit on creation at the Creation Museum and then the Ark Encounter. I just have to honor you, dear brother, and all of your ministry for what you've done, tangible evidence that God's Word is indeed as it said it is and was, and what it does say did happen, also what it says will happen, will indeed take place. One more time, if you will, give us the location, and your opening date, I understand, is July the 7th.
July the 7th, and people can get information from arkencounter.com, arkencounter.com, and it's halfway between Cincinnati and Lexington, 45 minutes from the Creation Museum, so south of Cincinnati on Interstate 75.
Praise the Lord for your ministry and what you're doing, Ken. God bless you. Thank you. Hope to talk again real soon.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.